Wake up, everybody. This is Bo Mitchell. Our program is You Get the Blessing. You're listening to the Four Seasons. Bob Gaudio. And we hope that song wakes you up today. And Walk Like a Man is a great song to lead into our show today. Like I said, I'm Bo Mitchell. Our program is You Get the Blessing. Our program is on the air each week because we are introducing you to individuals that we believe are impacting this community and this world for Jesus Christ. And today we have someone that has been walking like a man for 82 years, almost 83 years on this planet Earth. And he's serving Jesus Christ. And we're going to find out in what ways. And his name is Sam Zakim. Sam, is it okay if I call you Sam?
Yes, sir.
Welcome to our program.
Thank you so much.
We're very glad to have you today. He's been an ambassador to a country that was located right in between Iran and Saudi Arabia. And it's pronounced how?
Bahrain.
Bahrain.
They call it at the Arabian Gulf. The Iranians want to call it the Persian Gulf. And Bahrain wants to call it the Arabian Gulf.
Gotcha. So we're going to talk about your ambassadorship there and what that was like and what it was like living in that part of the world. But first, let's talk about your background. Tell me where you were born, Mr. Sam.
I was born in Tripoli, Lebanon, in North Lebanon, and in 1935.
Oh, wow.
November 25 on Thanksgiving Day.
And what can you remember about your childhood that you'd like to share with us?
Well, I was born to a Christian father and mother. And my father was a good Christian man who insisted that we go to church every Sunday morning. And ironically, he passed away. He had a heart attack walking to church.
How old were you when that happened?
I was in the United States okay. when my father passed away. Having been born to a Christian family, I thought I was born a Christian. And I didn't realize that you have to be born again until I came to this country and met the lady who is now my wife for 52 years.
So you wanted to date her, but she said, I'm not dating you unless you receive Jesus?
Well, she is such a wonderful Christian woman and I wasn't a good boy, so I didn't go out with her. But when it was time to get married, I went to Maryland, and she was the daughter of a man and a woman who knew the Lord. They went to Pastor Charlie Blair's church.
Calvary Temple.
Yes.
Charles Blair, he was a friend of mine.
Yes, and he was a friend of mine too, a great man. As a matter of fact, I took him with me to Paris when we went to talk to the North Vietnamese and Madame Bin of the Viet Cong about the release of the POWs and MIAs. Charlie Blair, a great guy.
Wife, even better. Betty?
Yeah.
Was that his wife?
I met her too, yes. But my father-in-law and mother-in-law, they were. My father-in-law was born in North Korea in Pyongyang, where his parents were missionaries there. So my wife is the daughter of a missionary.
So you needed to sign up or you weren't going to get one date, Mr. Sam.
Yeah, well, she
prayed you in.
Yes, she did, and I consider this the greatest blessing that the Lord gave me, a good wife, a good mother, and my children, three boys. When she was nursing them, she was reading the Bible to them, and that's why, thank God, they all walked down at South Sheridan Baptist Church and accepted the Lord, and they went to school at Denver Baptist Temple, and I was born in the Eastern Orthodox Church, like the Greeks, so I go like this.
Cross yourself.
Yes, I cross myself.
And your boys are all Christians, and so it's interesting that men and women through the centuries have complicated what the Bible teaches about how we have a physical birth, like you said, and just because your parents are Christians or your grandparents or you like the New York Yankees or the Colorado Rockies or the Denver Broncos or apple pie or you're a good person, that doesn't make you a Christian.
Amen.
The Bible teaches there needs to be another birth, a second birth, a born-again experience. So that's not a modern-day term. That is a term that came out of the mouth of God when he said, a man must be born again.
Amen.
And you had that second birth, and you fell in love with your wife. She helped you come to that decision.
Amen.
And your sons all made that decision too.
Yes, they all three walked down the aisle and accepted the Lord, and now their children are committed Christians too.
How many grandkids you got?
I have six.
Oh, they're wonderful, aren't
they? And the Lord blessed us with two boys in 1 year.
Oh, good.
Two grandchildren.
You're listening to the voice of Sam Zakim, our guest today, former ambassador to
Bahrain.
Bahrain. I don't want to mispronounce
it. And their presidents, Reagan and George H.W. Bush.
Okay. And let's go ahead and jump forward to that part of your life. How did that come about? And how did you become an ambassador?
Well, I owe it to a good man called Joe Kurz. Joe Kurz introduced me to and his wonderful wife, Holly. Holly was a committed Christian lady.
Holly Kurz was a good friend of mine, and she and my wife were in a prayer group together.
How wonderful.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, I loved Holly.
And Joe Jr. was one of the best friends I've ever had in my life. Passed away a year
and a half
ago. Passed
away, Joe. I worked for him when he ran for Congress.
So did I. What did you do?
Well, I had a fundraiser for him at my home, and I walked blocks for him.
You know what I did?
What?
Every morning he was running, I called him, and we prayed on the telephone together.
Beautiful.
And his wife, Gail, still is one of the few women I'd say, I love you, because Joe's not here to tell her now, so I tell her.
We love her, too, and I owe a lot to the Kurz family. And if we have time, I would tell you how I had the pleasure and honor of meeting them. But anyway, I was giving a seminar to the elected officials in the Phoenix legislature on the Constitution of the United States. So I was in my hotel room in Phoenix when Joe Kurz called and said, Sam, he said, yes, Mr. Kurz. He said, Joe. I said, no, you're Mr. Kurz. He said, Ronnie decided to make you appoint you ambassador to Bahrain. I said, wow.
And is that how it happened? Just a phone call from Joe Kurz.
Joe Kurz.
And Ronnie is Ronald Reagan.
Ronald Reagan. Wonderful, precious man. One of the greatest men I ever met. And I was blessed to be his ambassador. I talked with him on so many occasions, and I cherish the fact that I hugged Mrs. Reagan and kissed her on both cheeks, as they do in the Middle East. And Mr. Reagan was very gracious to me. And when I was able to get the 5th Fleet stationed in Bahrain, he praised me to the hilt, actually, and he said, "Sam, it happened on your watch, and we're proud of the job you did as ambassador, or you're doing as ambassador."
That feels very good, too, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So this is You Get the Blessing. I'm Bo Mitchell, your host, and our special guest today is Sam Zakim. Sam's got an amazing life that we're going to try to highlight here in the next few minutes that we have together. But what else would you tell us about the day-to-day functions of an ambassador?
It's not easy, especially when you're 10 hours ahead of the United States in the time zone. You have to be on the job when the State Department opens up, and you have to be on the job when they close up. So I was...
Sounds like you're never going to sleep.
That's right. It was very tough. We had the Iran-Iraq war during my tenure as ambassador, and we had the tanker war in the Gulf. Iran was attacking the tanker traffic in the Gulf, in the Arabian Gulf, the traffic that was going through the Straits of Hormuz. And Mr. Reagan decided to reflag the Kuwaiti, the Saudi, and the other tankers that crossed the Straits of Hormuz, to reflag them with the American flag. And to do so, we had to have a strong naval power in the Gulf. We had only one ship when I went to Bahrain. By the time I finished my position there, we had 42 warships in the Gulf.
Good job.
Well, we had a very tough job, and thank God, I think the Lord put me there at a crucial time for the United States. The greatest blessings, other than being a Christian, is having served the United States with honor and having served the United States well. This is God's country, Bo. This is the most blessed nation on the face of this earth. And as long as we continue to honor Jesus Christ, America will remain strong and America will remain great. I felt it was such a great privilege to serve America in time of war. And by the way, now my middle son, Charles, is at the Pentagon. He is the Deputy Chief of Staff to the Secretary of Defense, in charge of the Middle East.
Oh, my.
Yeah, so he's following in his dad's footprints, but actually he's going to be better than his dad.
Are we going to be okay as a nation, or do you see us slowly removing our hand from God's hand? What would you say point blank is our condition right now?
Well, I was telling my wife this morning, the Lord may not be too happy with us now. That's why we have such discourse in America now. We're hurting. Unfortunately, there's so much divisiveness in this nation. Unfortunately, we're going away quite a bit from where I would love to see our people be closer to the Lord. We have homosexual marriages. We have drugs. Such a permissive attitude about drugs, and we're even talking about taking God in God we trust off of our currency. You can pray to Allah, but you cannot pray to Jesus Christ in our churches, in our schools. we're going away as a nation, unfortunately, from where I would love to see us be closer to Jesus Christ.
And we certainly don't mean to offend anybody listening that might not understand exactly what we're talking about when we talk about faith issues and issues of Jesus Christ and the things of his kingdom. And yet we are discussing the fact that the permissiveness seems to be allowing this drift away from the things of God's kingdom. So is it going to take a awakening of the church, a revival? What in your opinion can turn that tide and point us back in the right direction?
I think, Bo, I thank the Lord for people like you and programs of this sort. We need more of this. And I think that the older generation should have the responsibility. You know, Jesus told us in the Bible, we're ordained to discipline our children. Parents should be responsible for the actions of their children. I introduced legislation way back in 1978 in the Colorado legislature when I was a state representative and then state senator. I introduced legislation to make parents responsible for the actions of their children. We're ordained by Jesus Christ to be the disciplinary portion, yes, function over our children. And, you know, we talk about guns and killings and what have you. Where are the parents? Why do not we exercise our responsibilities as ordained by the Lord to watch over our children and to guide them and to discipline them and to show them the right ways that they should, how they should function?
Well, you know, what you just said, this popped into my head, but 26 years ago, because I would not put a wire on and help the FBI incriminate some friends of mine, I served time myself in a federal prison, and my family would come visit me, very uncomfortable visiting situation, but the other inmates would see my kids and my wife of 46 years now. My kids were teenagers at the time, but they would ask me, how do you get a family this close? How do you get kids like this? My son even asked one of the guards, could I have a furlough to come stay inside the prison with my dad one night? And the inmates would say, how do you get kids like this? And the answer I would give them is Jesus Christ, first of all. Secondly, before you have a need for that family to rally together during a tough time, you pay attention, like you obviously did with your family, and you point your kids in the direction of the Holy Scriptures and the things of Christ and his kingdom. So when they would say, how do you get a family like this? I'd say, well, you don't get it during the crisis. You get it beforehand.
Amen.
When you do what you're supposed to do as parents.
Amen.
Just what you're saying. Our guest today, Sam Zakim, is talking about a variety of subjects, but served as ambassador, served in the state legislature here, and served Presidents Reagan and Bush H.W., number 41, and was a very successful businessman as well. What would you tell us about specifically your role as a dad that causes you such joy now as you share about your one son in the Pentagon, but your children and what you just said about where are the parents? What would you say to parents that are listening that may be not fully understanding what it takes to do the most important job any of us are called to do?
Well, I have to excuse me, give credit mainly to my wife. We did so many things together, husband and wife and the children. When we went places, we always sang, oh, how I love Jesus. Or we sang, my country it is of thee. Or we sang, God bless America. And my wife, as I mentioned, even when my kids were nursing, she was reading the Bible to them. We shared with our children, we took them to church with us. We talked with the children. We watched what they were reading and what programs on television they were watching. We did everything as a family. Every time we bump into each other, we kissed our children. As frankly, I kiss my wife at least 10, 15 times a day when I'm at home. If I'm not home, surely I'm not home. But the way husband and wife function together also is the example that the children will follow in the future. My oldest son, John, is a lawyer. He was chosen as one of the top lawyers in Colorado, and in the booklet put out by the Denver Post a week or so ago in governmental relations. He is honest to a fault. My youngest works for a good company. He's an accountant, but the honesty and integrity begins at home. Love for the Lord begins at home. Knowing the responsibility for your actions starts at home, and parents should therefore invest in their children. And a child is like an open, like a piece of paper without any writing on it. What you want your child to be, you have to write on that page, on that paper, to guide them to love them, show them love, show them respect. Teach them respect for others, and that the freedom brings with it responsibilities, and whatever they do reflects on the family. My father, for example, when I was a bad boy, would discipline me and would tell me, your actions reflect on the home of the Zakhams, on me and your mom, so you behave. And I think that, yes, all these begin at home and in the church.
Those lessons that you're discussing there help teach young people how to make right decisions when the world starts coming at you fast and furiously, and you can go one way or the other. The deeper those roots are in that family unit and the greater you've learned those lessons, the more likely it is you're going to make right decisions, and right decisions result in good consequences, not bad consequences. And that's well put, the way you said that.
Thank you. And I say amen to that. You know, now I'm an old man, yet, and my children, you know, each one has his own home, etc. And the two live in Denver, and one, as I mentioned now, is in Washington. They come home. They come home to see their dad and mom, and we're close. Thank God. That's why my kids never used drugs. Thank God that my kids never really got in trouble. And so the way you deal with your children determines how they will behave in the future and how they will raise their own family.
I think this is an Abraham Lincoln quote, but I could be wrong, but I believe he said, any success I have today is because I had a friend who believed in me, and I did not want to disappoint that friend. Same can be said about your mom and your dad. I never wanted to disappoint my dad or my mom, and it caused me to try things that were a little bit risky, athletically, business, ministry, try things that were requiring of me that, you know, I do things right and make something of my life because I wanted them to be proud. So,
amen.
Our goal is, as we both said, to love God and live to please Him first and foremost, but then parents, that are that involved in your lives, you want to please them too. So I like what you said about fatherhood. Of all the things you've done, that's probably your greatest title, isn't it, Ambassador? The title of father.
Amen.
Husband, father.
Yeah. Yes, yes. And, you know, we count our blessings as a family. And most of all, we count our blessings also to live in the land of the free.
And let's talk, as we close today, talk a little more about what can we be doing to make the turn, to turn this big ship around in the middle of this storm that we're in the ocean, and turn the ship slowly back to where God would have this country go?
Well, this is the saddest thing that saddens me, seeing the discord in our country today. When I was in the legislature, for example, I worked with fellow elected officials from the other party. I was very conservative, and many didn't like me because I was very conservative. I was so strong against abortion, against pornography, so strong against drugs. I was hung in effigy by some students when I introduced legislation against the sale and the use of marijuana, against drunk driving. My bill in the legislature was one of the toughest bills against drunk driving in the state of Colorado. So many of my colleagues didn't like where I stood, but we worked together. We respected each other. And for example, I could use an example that a gentleman called Dennis Gallagher, who was auditor of the city of Denver, he was on the left, I was on the right, but together we presented legislation to give the elderly people on fixed income free dentures.
Okay, so that's a good point to end this on. Work together. Let's come together.
Yes.
Let's not emphasize our differences, but let's emphasize essentials where we can join forces and come together. Sam Zakim, you've been a great guest, and blessings to you, friend.
Thank you, sir. God bless you.
We'll see you again next week on You Get the Blessing.